Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
UK lawmakers prep for a crucial Brexit vote.
Global stocks gain as China steps up stimulus efforts.
The German economy expands at the slowest pace in 5 years.
Wall Street awaits earnings from J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo.
President Trump's choice to be attorney general will testify at his confirmation hearing, plus punishment for white supremacy remarks made by Representative Steve King. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Good win for the Nets over Boston. The Devils won. Syracuse upset Duke. And we'll hear from new Jets coach Adam Gase.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And global stocks are advancing following signs that China is stepping up stimulus efforts. 601 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points, Dow futures up 94, NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, CAC in Paris up 0.2%, FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.68%, yield on the 2-year 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 59 cents to $51.10 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.40 to $12.88.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.30, and the yen, 108.52. Nathan.
Karen, Brexit is front and center with Prime Minister Theresa May's plan headed for defeat in Parliament today. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, it's less a case of if May loses today, but of how badly. Her last-minute pleas for support appeared to fall on deaf ears, and she could now be on course for the biggest government defeat in 95 years, with 70 of her Conservative Party and allies in the Democratic Unionist Party publicly pledging to oppose her. The vote is scheduled to be held at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, and Bloomberg sources say that both British and EU diplomats are working on the assumption that the date of Brexit, currently March the 29th, will be delayed if she loses. ING puts the chance of an extension of Article 50 plus a general election at 15%. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. The pound remains steady ahead of that crucial vote, and word that the UK's exit from the EU could be delayed is also boosting sentiment. That according to Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
The initial kind of intuition is that a delay is obviously a good thing. The thing that people fear most, or investors fear most certainly, is Brexit. Even a Brexit with a deal has been perceived over the last couple of years as more negative than Britain staying in the EU. That is the investor view at the moment. So a delay is a good thing. It averts the no-deal hard Brexit, and overall that is definitely a positive.
Checking sterling now, it is currently at $1.2834.
Now, in Germany, the economy expanded in 2018 at the slowest pace in 5 years. Gross domestic product rose just 1.5% last year after slumping global demand exposed vulnerabilities in Europe's growth engine. While official figures for the fourth quarter aren't available for another month, the Federal Statistics Office says growth may have picked up slightly late last year, hinting the economy may have avoided a fourth quarter contraction.
In Asia today, stocks reached a six-week high as Chinese officials opened the stimulus taps. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from Singapore.
The CSI 300 gained close to 2%, while both the on- and offshore yuan reached six-month highs against the dollar. As senior officials vowed to increase tax cuts to boost growth. In Japan, a weaker yen pushed the Nikkei towards an almost one-month high. The yen was the worst-performing G10 currency in Asian trade ahead of the pivotal Brexit vote in the UK. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Now, here in the U.S., bank earnings are likely to shape sentiment with results from J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo due out before the opening bell. Bloomberg's Ramy Innocencio reports.
Bloomberg Intelligence expects J.P. Morgan to deliver another solid quarter, and that's despite economic, policy, and global uncertainty into 2019. Revenue is expected to jump 6% for the quarter year on year. As for Wells Fargo, they should see more progress, too. That's on cost cuts and on its legal legal concerns after its fake account scandal, but investors should still expect falls in loans for commercial real estate, along with home equity and auto balances. Ramey Innocencio, Bloomberg News, New York.
Ramey, thank you. We also get inflation data before the start of U.S. trading. Economists forecast the producer price index declined 0.1% in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
It looks like lower petroleum prices will dominate the headline. The cost of a barrel of crude oil dropped about 14% in December to end the month at $45.41, based on data tracked by Bloomberg. Beyond oil, Bloomberg Economics says the impact of tariffs has probably peaked, and that the strong dollar will probably help keep wholesale costs in check. Tame inflation allows the Federal Reserve to bide its time on further interest rate hikes. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. So we are getting some data, but as the government shutdown enters day 25, missing information is weighing on the economic outlook. More on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Hey, good morning, Nate. The December retail sales report won't be released as scheduled Wednesday while the Commerce Department remains closed. Failure to reopen soon would also delay last month's personal income and spending data. That's due by January 31st. Those reports constitute the most widely watched measures of household consumption, which accounts for about 70% of the economy. While the job market does remain solid and consumers are in good shape, more information is needed to assess if the economy faces bigger than anticipated risks. That's one reason investors are nervous. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Crude is following other risk assets higher this morning, with U.S. oil inventories forecast to fall for the sixth time in 7 weeks. A Bloomberg survey of analysts calls for tomorrow's EIA data to show a decline in American stockpiles. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3% at $51.18 a barrel. Brent is up 1.4% at $59.83.
And meanwhile, Karen, another bank is moving away from the commodities sector. Bloomberg News has learned BNP Paribas is shutting its U.S. commodities derivatives desk. Group had 16 people. It traded energy, metals, and some agricultural products. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Here's Michael Barr to tell us what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you, Nathan. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has removed Republican Representative Steve King from all House committees following controversial race-related remarks. King of Iowa caused a furor after comments he made to the New York Times saying white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? Many Republicans have denounced King. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah.
Steve King's comments are his own and his exclusively, and what he said was reprehensible and ought to lead to his resignation from Congress.
Senator Mitch McConnell on King said if he doesn't understand why white supremacy is offensive, he should find another line of work. Several polls show half or more surveyed blame President Trump for the government shutdown. About a third blame Democrats as the shutdown enters its 25th day. President Trump vowed not to give up in the stalemate, saying the impasse is nothing but a political move by Democrats.
When it comes to keeping the American people safe, I will never, ever back down. I didn't need this fight. This is a rough fight.
The president delivered remarks at the American Farm Bureau Federation's 100th annual convention in New Orleans. President Trump's attorney general nominee will face questions today from the Senate Judiciary Committee. William Barr will face questions about his relationship with the president and his thoughts about the special counsel's Russia investigation. As President Trump and Kim Jong-un talk of another summit, there is new information coming to light that North Korea has not slowed its nuclear program at all. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Satellite imagery analysis and leaked American intelligence suggest the North has not stopped producing ICBMs and fissile material since proclamations and promises to Donald Trump that it would do so. The report says it is the same pace as before and that Kim has added several ICBMs and now has enough enriched material for about six more nuclear bombs, bringing the total now to between 30 and 60. The One Earth Future Foundation's Tateo Project says rather than slowing, it has reached a new stage. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Crowds are expected along the Hudson River this morning to watch the demolition of the old Tappan Zee Bridge. Bad weather postpones Saturday's planned explosions.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashire.
Nathan, forgive Nets fans if they don't particularly like the Celtics. Boston had won the last 10 meetings, also fleeced the Nets in that one-sided trade a few years back that cost the Nets a bunch of top draft picks. Celtics were without top scorer Kyrie Irving due to a quad injury, and the Nets took advantage. They won 109-102 at Barclays, 34 points for D'Angelo Russell. 57 points for James Harden. He continued his scoring spree at 36 in the first half as Houston beat Memphis. High-scoring game in Newark. Devils, most goals they've scored this season, an 8-5 win over Chicago. Upset college basketball. Number one Duke, playing without two starters, did have its freshman star Zion Williamson. He scored 35 points, but Tyus Battle had 32 for Syracuse. The Orange won in overtime at Duke, 95-91. The Jets introduced new coach Adam Gase, whose top priority is developing the Jets' young quarterback, Sam Darnold.
I'm excited because this is really the first time I've been able to get with a guy this young, this early in his career. You know, we're going into year two. He's hungry for knowledge. He wants to be coached, which when you have that a type of player that does have the physical traits, this is an exciting thing for me to go through.
Serena Williams, Novak Djokovic, easy wins today at the Australian Open. Mel Stoudemire's baseball career in New York spanned over four decades. The ace pitcher during a downtime for the Yankees in the 60s, early 70s. He was the pitching coach when the Yanks won four World Series. In between, he was the Mets pitching coach when they last won the series. Mel Stoudemire passed away at 77. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. In other sports news, NBC Sports and Topgolf Entertainment are unveiling a technology partnership they hope will bring golfers and casual fans closer to the sport. The multi-year agreement includes the expansion of Top Tracer as the network's ball tracking technology for PGA Tour telecasts on NBC and the Golf Channel. Top Tracer tracks a ball's flight, can provide information including speed, apex, curve, and carry. Futures pointed higher on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we speak with UK economist Dan Hansen of Bloomberg Economics ahead of the Brexit vote in Parliament coming up later this afternoon. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Theresa May's Brexit deal looks headed for the biggest parliamentary defeat in almost a century. At least 70 of her lawmakers and sometime allies will join opposition parties in voting against her. Chinese officials are pledging large-scale tax cuts. JP Morgan estimates the impact may be a fiscal boost of around $300 billion. As the government shutdown enters day 25, President Trump will have lunch with members of Congress, although the official White House schedule doesn't say who will attend. Meanwhile, the federal paralysis means business owners may miss out on a big tax break. Pass-through entities like partnerships and LLCs have yet to receive final word from the IRS on who qualifies for the 20% income deduction. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. And United Health reporting profit and revenue that beat analysts' estimates. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 101. NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is up less than a tenth of a percent now. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.52%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4% or 71 cents to $51.23 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.2% on $2 to $12.89.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1430, the yen, 108.52. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's pick for his new attorney general goes under the microscope. William Barr's confirmation hearings start today. Barr will face several questions, including about the ongoing Russia investigation. The House Republican Steering Committee agreed not to seat Representative Steve King on any House committee. It's in response to the Iowa Republicans' latest inflammatory comments concerning white supremacy. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Celtics. In the NHL, the Devils won. The Bruins and Capitals lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. The UK Parliament scheduled a vote today on Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal. Joining us now, Dan Hansen, Bloomberg UK economist. Dan, it was the martial arts expert Bruce Lee who said defeat is the first step to something better. Is there anything better in the offing?
I don't think so, I'm afraid. I think she's certainly headed for defeat. And what we're going to be looking for is the scale of that defeat. There's a wide range of numbers being banded around.
Okay, so why does that matter, the margin of defeat, what it's going to be?
So the margin of defeat matters because it will likely determine what comes next. If the margin of defeat is relatively narrow, and by relatively narrow, I'm still saying somewhere in the region of 60, maybe even up to 100. That's what a Bloomberg News story has said this morning, that a lot of pound traders are looking for, a defeat of around 100. That may mean that May can go back to the EU and try and negotiate more concessions. Likely that she will have to ask for an extension of Article 50 should she do that. But a defeat of more than, say, 100, then the chances of a no-confidence vote in the government becomes likely, and a general election and a second referendum. And what we see is that you're a very short period away from the Article 50 deadline, and all of the options, including a no deal, remain on the table. And that uncertainty, when we've seen it in the economic data, is really damaging growth at the moment.
Okay. You know, there are those who say a disorderly Brexit wouldn't be as bad as, say, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn taking over. Will there be a Corbyn government, and how do you game that?
So the most likely way a Corbyn government could come about is if May loses today by a significant margin, he then calls a vote of no confidence. He may call a vote of no confidence regardless of the scale of defeat. We just don't know. He would then have to win that vote of no confidence. So there would have to be a majority in Parliament who say that they do not have confidence in the government. And that's where things get difficult, because despite all this opposition to May's deal, if this vote of confidence came to Parliament, all of her lawmakers would likely stand behind her, we'd imagine, and the DUP, who prop up her minority government, the Democratic Unionist Party, would vote in favour of the government as well. So it looks difficult for Corbyn to win the vote of no confidence, and he's also still behind in the polls. So even if he won the vote of no confidence and it went to, we had a general election here in the UK, it's not clear that he would definitely win. So it would be a big calculated risk if he did decide to go ahead with it, and the odds aren't in his favor.
Okay, you're the economist. What's the economic impact of the different scenarios?
Well, at this moment, the impact is actually a lot more marked than we had been expecting. Growth slowed at the end of last year, and that's been the case around the globe as well. But going into the first quarter of this year, we think growth in the UK is going to be pretty weak, and that's just the short-term impact. Long-term, it depends on the type of Brexit that the UK ends up getting, whether it gets a Brexit at all, in fact. But you're looking at a price tag of somewhere, depending on the type of Brexit you get, somewhere between 3 and 7% of GDP over the next 10 years or so. In the near term, though, as I say, it's this uncertainty that's really weighing on growth, and the economy is running well below what we would consider its speed limit at the moment. And that's likely to continue the longer this all goes on, and the longer we don't have any clarity about what's going to happen.
What's the probability of a second referendum?
Well, I'm not going to give you a point estimate, but I would say it's definitely rising. What needs to happen? Something needs to happen to break this deadlock. And if Parliament can't break the deadlock, and Parliament are just as divided as the country is, if Parliament can't break the deadlock, then you're going to have to potentially start talking about asking the people to break the deadlock and put
okay.
the vote back.
Well, that leads me to my last question. The guy sitting in the pub somewhere in the Midlands sipping a brew, has he changed his mind about this?
Well, that's the other point here, is that it's really not clear which way the referendum would go. You've got some swing voters, some have gone from Leave to Remain and vice versa, but it would be just as close, and perhaps most interestingly, it's highly unlikely to deliver a very clear mandate again. The vote was very close the first time. It would likely be extremely close the second time.
Dan Hansen, Bloomberg UK's economist. Thanks a lot, Dan. Take a look at sterling right now, 128.40. That's down 0.2 of a percent against the U.S. dollar. Vote somewhere around 2 o'clock, maybe. You're listening to Bloomberg.
Thanks, John. Coming up on 6:25 now on Wall Street. Futures pointing higher ahead of the open. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 90. NASDAQ futures up 31 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks rising around the world after signs that China is stepping up efforts to combat an economic slowdown. Senior Chinese economic policy officials have vowed tax cuts to boost growth.
Investors await a crucial vote on Brexit today. More from Bloomberg's Robert Hutton in London.
Theresa May is set to see her Brexit deal rejected in the biggest parliamentary defeat for a British government for 95 years. While her allies consider concessions that might win a little support, opponents inside her Conservative Party say they can't be bought. The Prime Minister's best chance of avoiding humiliation is if some kind of wrecking amendment kills the deal before it gets to a final vote, but those who want the deal destroyed are determined not to give her that out. In London, Robert Hutton, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Robert, thank you. In Germany, the economy expanded at the slowest pace in 5 years in 2018. Gross domestic product rose just 1.5% after a gain of 2.2% in 2017.
Well, here in the U.S., United Health is out with fourth quarter earnings that topped the highest analyst estimates. That has shares up 1% in early trading.
And we get more earnings from the banking industry this morning with J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo reporting. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says J.P. Morgan Chase should deliver another solid quarter, and geopolitics are a critical question for the bank's outlook. Industry analysts look for Wells Fargo to show more headway toward building a new brand and culture and to make progress on legal concerns. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thanks. We also get inflation data before the start of trading. Economists forecast the producer price index declined 0.1% in December. It is 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the volatility index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 1907. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 1888. And that is this morning's volatility report.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 101 and NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.2%. So is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.4% or 71 cents to $51.23 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2.10 at $12.89.20 an ounce. And the euro's at $1.1430. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Republican leaders have removed Iowa Congressman Steve King from all committee assignments as punishment for his remarks about white supremacy. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
There's an unanimous decision from steering. In light of the comments, these are not the first time we've heard these comments. That is not the party of Lincoln, and it's definitely not America. All people are created equal in America, and we want to take a very strong stance about that.
King was on the Judiciary, Small Business, and Agriculture Committees. In an interview with the New York Times, King questioned how the terms white nationalism and white supremacy became offensive. President Trump's nominee to be the new Attorney General begins his confirmation hearing today. William Barr will begin his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. The government shutdown has entered its 25th day. It comes as a union says the IRS plans to call about 45,000 furloughed employees back to work without pay in order to issue tax refunds. Ivanka Trump is helping manage the choice of a new prospective leader of the World Bank. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The World Bank's board traditionally accepts the U.S. nominee for the position, and this time around, President Trump's daughter will be influential in finding a new leader for the lender to the developing world. She's already been involved in World Bank initiatives on helping women entrepreneurs.
Investing in women is not only the right thing to do, but it's also a very strategically prudent thing to do.
While Ivanka Trump is working on the nomination, the White House denies reports that Trump herself could be a contender to head the World Bank. The nomination will ultimately be up to her father with a deadline March 14th. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Today marks 10 years that the pilot of a U.S. Airways flight made a shocking yet safe emergency splashdown on the Hudson River. Captain Sully Sullenberger turned the Hudson into a runway and helped to save 153 passengers on board. Looking back on the miracle on the Hudson, Sullenberger spoke to ABC's Good Morning America.
I was on pins and needles for four terrifying hours until finally that evening, still in the hospital being evaluated, I got the word that it was official.
Everyone
was safe. And only then could I feel the weight of the universe being lifted off my heart.
The passenger plane ran into serious trouble after hitting a flock of geese. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street now. It is time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, last time the Nets had a 500 record, they were 2-2. They can get there with a win tomorrow. Won't be easy in Houston. Last night, the Rockets' James Harden scored 57 points. But the Nets last night got 34 from D'Angelo Russell. He ended a 10-game losing streak versus Boston. They beat the Celtics at Barclays 109-102. Russell had 18 in the third quarter when the Nets outscored the Celts 44-21. In Newark, a 5-goal second period for the Devils. They beat Chicago 8-5, 2 goals each for Blake Coleman and Kyle Palmieri. College hoops, down goes number one Duke, hosting Syracuse. Duke was without two starters, and the Orange won 95-91 in overtime. Tyus Battle, 32 points in the win. Duke's freshman star Zion Williamson went for 35 in the loss. The Australian Open, the top seed of the women's side, Simona Halep, lost the first set to Kaya Kanepi, but came back to win the match. New Jets coach Adam Gase met the media, was asked what attracted him to the job.
A young quarterback. And I also think the knowledge of playing these guys over the last 3 years. That was interesting for me to stay in division. You know your opponents right out the gate, and you've been on one of the other teams that you're not going to end up playing. That was very intriguing, and I've worked with older quarterbacks, guys in the middle of their career, and I've never really had the opportunity to work with somebody that's fresh out of the draft, basically, and that does have a year experience, and I was excited to get that kind of opportunity.
Referring, of course, to Jets QB Sam Darnold, Gase got the Jets job shortly after getting fired by the Dolphins. Mel Stottlemyre passed away at 77 after a long battle with cancer, the former Yankee ace pitcher. He won 5 World Series as a pitching coach, 4 with the Yankees, 1 with the Mets. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View Editorial Board. With Congress refusing to provide $5.7 billion for his border wall, President Trump has suggested funding it with money diverted from the Defense Department budget, perhaps by using active duty troops in the construction. This is a bad idea. Trump may not have the authority, and it would take money away from other important projects. And this would be the most blatant example to date of Trump using the military as his personal plaything. Upon taking office, he referred to, quote, my generals, but over time he fired, humiliated, or ignored all of them. The last straw for Defense Secretary James Mattis was Trump's abrupt decision to withdraw all U.S. troops from Syria and Afghanistan. Such erratic pronouncements also make it harder for the military to do its job, and they continue the president's disturbing trend of politicizing the military. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Coming up on 6:39 on Wall Street, Democrats are finding one way to make good on their health care campaign promises, expand Medicaid. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The elections last fall have led to more states expanding Medicaid, which they run with help from federal dollars.
There have been a few governorships that switched over where Democrats are replacing their Republican predecessors. And we also saw a few ballot initiatives get passed.
Bloomberg Law's Genevieve Douglas says some states feel comfortable now signing on.
Because 36 states in the District of Columbia have expanded their programs, there's infrastructure in place. There is kind of tried and true methodology.
Maine and Wisconsin are expanding Medicaid. California, Washington, and Colorado are even looking at statewide systems. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And here's Bob Moon with today's Bloomberg Green Report.
Antarctica was melting back in the 1980s. It's just that now it's melting more than six times faster, according to a new study. Scientists used aerial photographs, satellite measurements, and computer models to track how fast the southernmost continent has been melting since 1979 in 176 different locations. They found the ice loss to be accelerating dramatically, a key indicator of human-caused climate change. Satellite imagery comparisons show in the 1980s, Antarctica was losing 44 billion tons of ice a year. Since 2009, it has lost almost 278 billion tons of ice per year. An earlier study had missed what turns out to be considerable melting in East Antarctica. Scientists say factoring that into previous ice loss findings increases the risk of a sea level rise over the next century of more than 10 feet. A separate study by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration finds the Arctic Ocean has lost 95% of its oldest ice. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Fairleigh Dickinson University, Silberman College of Business, offering an executive MBA and a blended Saturday MBA that combines online and on-campus classes. Visit fdugrad.org/radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and earnings from J.P. Morgan Chase just crossing the Bloomberg so far. We're hearing that fourth quarter profit came in at $1.98 a share. Again, they're just crossing, and we're going to be bringing you details as they cross. First, let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are climbing right now, with Dow futures up 118 points. S&P's gained 10, while the Nasdaq futures rise by 38. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.7%. Asia markets rose overnight. Note that China pledged tax cuts in an effort to combat the economic slowdown, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing and the Producer Price Index. Regarding earnings this morning, like you said, J.P. Morgan just came out. United Health EPS beat the highest estimates, and look for Delta to report around 7 a.m., Wells Fargo around 8. In other news, Barclays recommends buying Facebook shares into earnings. Goldman Sachs said that Netflix is seen reporting strong Q4 results and Q1 guidance. And Robert Baird said that Tesla's Model 3 demand remains robust. Wrapping things up, Newmont Mining was downgraded to neutral at CIBC, and Citigroup upgraded to outperform over at BMO. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg Times, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And let's bring you more on those J.P. Morgan earnings. Again, profit coming in at $1.98 a share. Now, looking at fixed income sales and trading revenue, that missed analyst estimates, coming in at $1.86 billion. Analysts looking for $2.29 billion. Equity sale and trading revenue just met analyst estimates. And taking a look at the stock now in early trading, it is down 1.7% in early trading. Stay tuned for more on these results plus analysis coming up shortly on Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Tom Keene. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Attorney General nominee William Barr will begin his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning. If confirmed, this would be Barr's second time serving as Attorney General, a position he previously held under President George H.W. Bush. Iowa Republican Representative Steve King was rebuked by GOP House leaders and stripped of his committee assignments over his comments about white nationalism and white supremacy. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Celtics 109-102. In the NHL, the Devils won, the Bruins and Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. And as Karen mentioned, shares of J.P. Morgan are falling in early trading on the release of the fourth quarter earnings report. Let's get initial reaction now from Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. So adjusted revenue met estimates, but the fixed income sales and revenue came up short.
So, yes, a couple of things at first blush. So fixed income coming up short, equities trading bang in line. So the fixed income decline about 16% year over year. That's about in range with Citigroup, who said their FIC was down about mid-teens. If you exclude a mark for an Asia hedge fund loan, equities trading up 15%. If you exclude the year ago Steinhoff, it's up 2%. For JP Morgan, again, that's very similar to what we saw at Citi. The one headline number we're going to want to look into a little bit more, 4Q provision for credit losses, $1.55 billion. The estimate was $1.3 billion. It looks like there was some reserve building. So we're going to want to see a little bit more about what's happening there. Is this due to loan growth, which actually looks like it was disappointing, 5%? Perhaps not disappointing, but a declining trend from the year ago quarter. Some people, I think, had gotten a little bit more optimistic due to some industry data, but we've seen sort of a head fake there before in terms of seeing growth in the industry data, not necessarily at the big banks.
All right. So if these numbers are generally in line with what we saw yesterday from Citigroup, are we starting to see a theme emerging from the financial sector in the fourth quarter?
Well, there's surely a theme for fixed income trading being disappointing. JP Morgan and Citi are the biggest in that business. Equities trading outperforming and generally performing pretty healthy. My guess is we're going to hear from JP Morgan, strong derivatives, weaker prime. That's our expectation given some of the trends that we saw with asset price declines, deleveraging, but yet higher volatility in the fourth quarter. The loan growth look from JP Morgan, 5%. I think when we get the Wells Fargo number in a little bit, that'll sort of be more indicative just because JP Morgan and Wells Fargo, I think, are more an eye into the broader U.S. economy and customer. They have more the branch-based similar business than Citigroup.
And again, checking JP Morgan in the pre-market down 2.8%. Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Thanks for the quick reaction there. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. It is 6:52 now on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include day 25 of partial government shutdown. House Democrats plan to vote today to reopen the 9 closed agencies through February 1st. President Trump takes part in a briefing today on border security with state, local, and community leaders. And we have Senate confirmation hearings beginning in just a few hours for Attorney General nominee William Barr. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now on all this. Let's start with the Attorney General hearing, Kate. That is likely to be the main event, at least for the next day or two.
Absolutely. And I think really what we'll be seeing is Democrats pressing Barr to give them assurances, and in the word that some of them have used, ironclad assurances, that he's not going to take any actions to curb Robert Mueller's Russia meddling investigation before it comes to its completion. So I think that's going to be a primary emphasis of the hearings. And I think, you know, Barr tried to get ahead of that yesterday by releasing a statement essentially saying that he vowed not to let politics essentially come into his decision-making processes. However, a couple of Democrats were already hearing or saying that that doesn't go far enough. So I would imagine that's going to be the crux of what we're going to be hearing today.
Yeah, this is going to be the first high-profile hearing for the Senate Judiciary Committee since Brett Kavanaugh, and we all know how that went.
Absolutely. That certainly was a contentious hearing, to put it mildly. And I would expect that this would be, you know, perhaps if not at that level, you know, quite contentious as well. Certainly the judiciary panel is not one that's, you know, that's unused to that sort of high profile hearing. But I would expect that this would be another one that, you know, would be tuned into pretty widely.
Yeah. And it's a new high profile for the new chairman of the committee, Lindsey Graham, who I think many will recall during the Kavanaugh hearing got rather heated in rebuking Republicans. I wonder if we'll see a similar amount of heat today and tomorrow.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody remembers even, you know, the Graham's performance during the Kavanaugh hearing has even inspired kind of a spoof that was on SNL even, because it was so heated. And I think that, you know, people will be watching him closely. He's a former military lawyer, someone who is very close with John McCain when he was alive, and, you know, someone, though, that has, you know, aligned himself more and more with Trump as you know, the months go by. And so I think that we would expect that not to change, but it will be interesting to see what his posture is towards Barr when it comes to the Mueller hearings.
All right, let's move on to the posturing, perhaps, as we enter day 25 of the government shutdown. What is the House planning today to try to get those agencies back open?
So essentially, the House is going to vote on legislation that would reopen the shuttered parts of the government. And they're doing it through a process that would require two-thirds vote for approval. So essentially, that's going to require support from Republicans if it's going to get through. I think the sense is that it probably will pass, but that the Senate, there's no indication the Senate's going to take that up. The House has already passed legislation that doesn't include Donald Trump's wall money. This one doesn't include his wall money. And so far, Mitch McConnell has shown no indication that he'd be willing to take that up. There's also going to be another vote later this week, potentially, on legislation that would reopen the government just through February 28th, sort of a short-term fix. And I think the sense is as well that that may not have much of a future in the Senate, particularly given the fact that Trump said yesterday he's not really interested in taking that route.
Yeah, a route that was proposed by, once again, Senator Lindsey Graham. So is there anything that the Senate is doing at this point to try to move the ball forward?
Well, there's a group of senators that, a bipartisan group of senators that sat down yesterday to try to, you know, have some talks to forge a path towards compromise. However, there's really not an indication they've made any concrete progress yet. However, I will, you know, add the caveat that often in the Senate, traditionally the way things get done is when a bipartisan group of senators sit down and talk to each other on immigration. For instance, years ago, there was the Gang of Six that crafted the bipartisan immigration proposal. So, you know, there is a history of that bearing fruit in the Senate, but there's no really indication yet that that's happening.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always for the briefing. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen, we've got some more details on the J.P. Morgan earnings.
Well, we continue to watch the earnings cross the Bloomberg. Most importantly, we're watching the shares right now. They've been bouncing around a bit. They're still lower, down 2.25% right now, Nathan. We did hear that fourth quarter profit missed analyst estimates. Fixed income trading revenue also missing. So did investment banking revenue. That just missed. Equity sales and trading revenue, though, was in line. And watching Top Live, they're pointing to a few things here. Home lending was one weak spot in the consumer and community bank. Home lending revenue dropped 8% to $1.32 billion. We are going to have much more on this. Stay tuned for more. We have more results plus analysis coming up shortly on Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Tom Keene. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are moving higher this morning, still after those results. And this is Bloomberg.